Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour back in the book of Colossians. Colossians written in about 59 to 62 A.D., written by Paul while in prison in Rome. A lot of people think it's kin to Ephesians. It should be. He wrote it about the same time. So some of the thoughts naturally would have been prevalent in his mind at that time. But basically, teaching Christ crucified, that's to say who did it, why they did it, where they did it, and what it was to accomplish. Certainly, that's what this book is about. It's a doctrinal book. And the main thing is that when you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. And within Him, you have forgiveness, repentance, and atonement for your sins, whereby you are automatically a child of God, having suffered with Christ in baptism, the burial, resurrection, and eternal life, meaning you have died spiritually, or physically, you might say, with Christ. Therefore, you have no more need of ceremonies. Why? Because you've got Christ. Okay. That's what's important in this book, and it's an important thought to hang on to. Other than that, Paul, as always with Paul, you want to listen very carefully because he gets a little deep sometimes. So, chapter 1, verse 19, word of wisdom from our Father. We're going to start with 19 because I skipped it inadvertently in the last lecture, so we'll cover it again. Verse 19, and it reads, "For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell." The totality of the Godhead. Do not read over that. I'll say it again. The totality of the Godhead rests in Christ. If you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. That's Emmanuel, God with us. Verse 20, "And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." And then, as you noted, I took you to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, where he went to the prisoners on the wrong side of the gulf and taught them, gave them the same opportunity all the way back to the time of Noah to accept Christ's salvation, just as you have that opportunity today. Christ, all in all people for all times, whomsoever will. Verse 21, "And you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled." He's forgiven you. It has been erased. It's washed away. And don't bring it up anymore. He doesn't want to hear it. And all you do is to remember it in your mind so it doesn't happen again. Verse 22. "In the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight." That is total and complete forgiveness. I do not understand why it is very difficult for some people to pick up on that. I guess they want to whip themselves. They want to punish themselves. I mean, when He forgives, it is gone. It is erased. It's blotted out. It doesn't exist anymore. Complete forgiveness is such a beautiful gift. It's the gift of Almighty God to His children who love Him, who repent. That is conditional naturally. But let me ask you a question now. Is it the church that forgives sin? Absolutely not. It is Christ's blood on the cross that brings to pass atonement, and through His crucifixion and His death on the cross, paying that price for us, then He became the Savior. The church is not the Savior. Christ is the Savior. He's the Savior of the world for those that will believe upon Him. As we read earlier in the first lecture, You have an inheritance. You already have a guaranteed place in heaven. Your name is on it. It's yours for eternal life. But you've got to believe. It is conditional. Do you? How is your faith? Verse 23. If you continue in the faith, again, that's conditional. Anytime that big word if shows up, pay attention. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, I mean cemented in, if you would, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Don't ever let anyone shake you away from that. Which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, all the creation that is under heaven, better translated, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. It was Paul's wish on the road to Damascus to destroy the church. Why? He did not believe that it should exist. And what happened on that road to Damascus that day, as it is well reported in Acts chapter 9, God struck him down, blinded him, blinded his physical eyes, and opened his spiritual eyes, whereby this Saint Paul, God would utilize to write most of the New Testament, that is, for our Heavenly Father, at the pen of Luke, the gospel writer. It would bring it to us, whereby being that minister, you still have that minister today that teaches this place you have in heaven, guaranteed, an eternal inheritance, yours for the having served him. I mean, it's totally paid for by what? By the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You meeting that condition of having the faith to believe that, to know it, and absolutely you're anchored in it, unshakable, to know that is a fact, that is a truth, and a truth you can hang on to. That's the ministry of Paul. Verse 24, who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. In other words, I rejoice at the suffering. He was in prison in Rome. And the suffering he did, it made him happy. Why? Because within that, he was able to preach, to bring forth the truth, the word of God, to help sinners everywhere that would listen to him, that would believe, that would understand, that would anchor themselves in Christ, unshakable. It's such a wonderful way, and no wonder he would rejoice in that. For he was the officiator under Christ for having brought that forth, though it cost him dearly. Much imprisonment and many scourgings, but that's good. He did not mind. He rejoiced in it. Why? Because it produced fruit for Almighty God. Okay, let's go with the next verse, please. And we have verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation, that's the stewardship of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. To fulfill what? To fulfill the word of God. That is God's plan. That is God's will. Anytime you fall outside of God's plan and God's will, you're in a heap of hurt, friend. Well, why would I be in a heap of hurt? Because you cut off your blessings. You don't have them anymore. That's a dreary, sad day, my friend. You don't want that to happen. It was Paul's stewardship. And he is a wonderful steward of that word and the power entailed therein, the energy that flows forth from Almighty God through the Holy Spirit that gives you unction, direction, and guidance to be a blessing not only in your own family but to the world, to assist people, to set the example. That's what Paul did. It was for what purpose? To fulfill the word of God. That's why it's always necessary to teach God's word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, so that it is not man's word, but God's word that is fulfilled. Verse 26, listen carefully. Even the mystery which hath been hid for ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Through the Holy Spirit, it is made obvious to those that are set aside, that is to say, God's election. There's a purpose for it. It's necessary that God's elect know the mystery that has been hidden for ages. And so it is. Verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other words, it would be, this mystery would be a blessing to everyone. Well, brother, tell me, just what is this mystery? Well, it's very simple. You'll find it in Matthew chapter 13. A very clear explanation utilizing the parable of the tares, which is to say, a wicked seed that was planted among us. Where did they come from? Who are they? Why are they with us? What is the mystery within that, and what does it mean to God's elect today? Well, you're not going to have it, but turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Pick it up in verse 35, if you would, as Christ would speak in parables. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. That foundation is the cattle, the overthrow of the first earth age. You that are not familiar with that is part of the mystery. And you with companion Bibles, Appendix 146, will make it very clear to you that there was an earth age before this when the rebellion took place. It's been kept secret for generation after generation. But in the end times, in the latter rain, it is time for the truth to come forth. 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. They didn't even get it. So now Christ, with the multitude gone, he has the set-aside ones here. He has part of the remnant, which is the same as the elect. And he's going to describe the mystery. You don't want to miss it. Here it comes, verse 37. He answered and he said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. In other words, through the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Son, Almighty God brought forth Adam and Eve and the other races on this earth. Verse 38. The field, this is the field where those tares were sowed. What field is that? The field is the world, this world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. That is to say, the king and his dominion. That king is the Lord Jesus Christ. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. Well, now, dear me, who in the world could the wicked one be? Who is the wickedest of all? Next verse will tell you, 39. The enemy that sowed them, and here is your mystery, is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world, and we could say this world age. That's just how it's going to be. Now, why is it so important that God's elect understand that parable? And I will tell you, quite frankly, if you don't understand that parable, you're not going to understand fully any of the parables that Christ spoke. Because if you did not know, then if you followed through in John chapter 8, verse 44, to find out that this wicked child that Satan planted was none other than Cain himself, the first murderer. I'm quoting from John 8, 44. The first murderer was the child of the devil. And you might say, well, still, what has that got to do with God's elect today? Well, have you never studied the book of Revelation? This is why it's important. Because in the book of Revelation, we find in chapters 2 and 3, there are seven churches. Only two out of those seven churches was Christ pleased with, of the church overall. Well, what churches were that? Smyrna and Philadelphia. Well, what did those two have the others didn't? The mystery that was hidden from throughout the ages of the planting of the wicked seed. Because as it is written in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, I know you may be poor in the world, but you are rich because you know those that claim to be of our brother Judah, but are in fact the synagogue of Satan, meaning the Kenites, the children of Cain, the offspring of Cain. And a church that teaches that is a church that has God's good standing. Then the second church would be the church of Philadelphia, brotherly love, being translated rather than transliterated. What did the church of Philadelphia have then? Same thing. A key of David, that is to say the seed line of the true Christ from the fake, of the true seed from the false seed, that's to say the Kenites, sons of Cain. A key that could open doors that no man could close and close doors that no man could open. And to know the truth of those that claim to be of our brother Judah and do lie and are the synagogue of Satan. And they do the work of Satan. That is the knowledge of mystery of that was hidden for many years. Many people simply go through life and never see that truth of what's really happening in this world when it's right in plain sight before your face to know and to understand. So, well, exactly then tell me, what does that mean? It means that you will not be deceived by the false one in the end times. If you have the faith and the knowledge to follow the mystery of Christ, to accept Him, to see that truth, and to not be deceived by false teachings. When we get to the next chapter, it goes much into those that are so easily led around. They'll follow anything. Then how soon would you forget then verse 25? What did it say? To fulfill the word of God. That's why you must stick with the word of God and not the sayings of man, traditions that make void the word of God. So that's why it's important to know that mystery so that you are a part of the knowledge that is taught by those two churches, Smyrna and Philadelphia, that you understand it and you're not going to be deceived, but you're going to make a stand against, anchored, solid in the truth of God's word, not swayed this way or that way, but straight on, keeping the word of God in its totality without any apology or explanation to any man that would differ or try to pull you away from that. You are a child of God. You want to act like it. Okay, let's return to the first chapter and let's pick it up in the next verse, if we may, verse 28. Who, this would be the God to whom is made known the riches and the glory of this mystery. That's the God we're talking about, our Father, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Not some slob following around, slobbering after the false Messiah, but staying true and alert, a soldier of Christ, standing the ground, keeping yourself pure in the truth of the true Messiah, because you know the vile rudiments that the bad seed brings forth in this world, and you will have no part of it. Verse 29, whereunto I also labor, striving. Striving means I work at it. According to His working, which worketh in me mightily. In other words, Christ energy pours into me, and I bring that forth with vigor and understanding. That's what Paul says. And even though he was in prison, with vigor he still brings forth that truth. Why? Prison doesn't change the truth. Why was he in prison? For teaching truth. And so it is. So how precious it is. There's chapter 1 of this great book of Colossians. Chapter 2 warns you about the traditions of men that make void the word of God. And the fact that this ceremonial law that we have spoken of before, that Christ replaced those things. You're going to find out in this chapter what it is that Christ became, what was nailed to the cross with him. And you must be very adult in that, in as much as the veil is rent, where you can go to the Father directly for verification from his word and action. Chapter 2, verse 1, let's go with it. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Laodicea, the justice of the people. I really have a strong yearning. I wish I could look you straight in the eye to teach you. Two, that this is why many people believe that Paul had not yet been to Colossae, and that but the church was started there by another person. Verse 2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and into all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. Do you acknowledge it? Do you see it? Do you understand the mystery that works right among us, where the wickedness of the world aspires and comes forth? It is so important that you do. That's what the mystery is taught for. Verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Only in him. He is our all in all. So that's why you want to be careful about these people saying, well, you should worship this day or you should worship that day. You should worship Christ. He is all in all, period. Verse 4, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. I mean, some fancy Dan with a slick tongue. Don't you let him pull you away from the word, God's word. You know, unfortunately, you'd be surprised how easily some people can be misled. Example, you don't have to understand the book of Revelation. You're going to be gone like a butterfly. Is that biblical? Of course it isn't. The word rapture is not in God's word. And yet it is taught, multitudes are taught it. And what does it do? It leads you right straight into the trap of Antichrist. Because that's Antichrist's message. He comes first at the sixth trump. The true Christ doesn't return until the seventh. He's coming back at the sixth trump to say, load up, we're going to fly out of here. Don't get in his wagon, my friend. Don't be deceived by him. That's what I'm saying. That's why the mystery is so important. And that's why you have the same truth that was taught in Smyrna and Philadelphia, those two churches. And then you'll understand why Christ was pleased only with those two, because the rest were deceived. Not good. You're going to let some man beguile you when God's truth is here in his word? When a man can't back up what he says in God's word, then you better let that be a warning. Verse 5. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. I don't want you weaving around, wavering. I want you to be straight on. Yea, yea, and nay, nay. Not maybe this and maybe that. Straight on. Verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. In your daily life, let him be a part. Do not cut God out of the equation of your life. What you do, where you go, talk to him. That is the mark of a Christian. When you're in trouble, you fellowship with him. 7. Rooted. That means you've got deep roots settled right in Christ. And built up in him. And established. I mean solid. In the faith as ye have been taught. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Always be thankful for it. Always let God know you love him. Always let thank him for the blessings that he brings into your life. And you be that strong, steadfast being, anchored in the Word of God, anchored in Christ. He is the Word. Verse 8, beware, that's a warning, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, empty words. After the tradition of men, after the rudiments is the wickedness of this world, of the world, and not after Christ. You can just be pulled off and pulled away, by man if you allow it. And the elements of this world can certainly pull you aside and grab your attention if you're not careful. We must live in this earth age. We must survive in this earth age. We must be wise enough to know what the ways of the world, and yet we are as peaceful as a dove and yet wiser than the serpent. In other words, we know what it takes to get by, to make your living in this earth, and yet at the same time to prevail in Almighty God. That is what is so important. Never be enticed or pulled away from the Word of God by the enticing words of men. Men like to say, it isn't necessary for you to study to show yourself approved. Listen to me, I will guide you. Guide you where? Straight to hell? How would you know if you listen to man and not God's Word? It is God's Word that is the example. It is the letter of love that God sent us so that we are not deceived. So consider and beware the warning that there are people in the name of religion. Satan would rather work from a pulpit than he would from a bar downtown. Okay, he can do more good in pulpits around the world. Not a correct one. But one that doesn't never quite gets around to teaching God's Word, but teaches the words of men. Verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, as I stated earlier in another scripture, the 19th, totality, the totality of the Godhead rest in Emmanuel, God with us. Therefore, if you need strength and if you need power, you know who to go to. Let me hasten to add, always pray to God, but pray in Christ's name. That gives credentials that you be Christian. But at the same time, know who the King is. Verse 10. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. I mean, there is no other. You may want power, you may seek power. You will find it in Christ with God's blessings, because that's where true power comes from. We're talking here eternal power, not some breeze in the wind that goes nowhere and amounts to nothing. And so you want the true energy that takes you through the thick and through the thin. And he will never let you down. You know, you may let him down, but he will never let you down. See that you do not drift away from that energy and power that flows from him and he gives it so freely. If you meet the conditions, verse 11, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, I repeat, without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. This does not mean there's anything negative or wrong in circumcision for health reasons, but certainly not for spiritual reasons any longer, because circumcision is of the heart and it applies to both male and female. That circumcision is to know the truth, the mystery, to let your heart see into that mystery, to see the actions of those that claim to be our brother and are not, and to see the rudiments, the wickedness that works in the, even in this earth age to deceive men, and see that you're not entangled within it. Beware. That's the warning. And let your mind and heart be circumcised with the very word of God. I mean steadfast. Rooted means to take root in it. Once you take root in something, you're anchored. And let the tentacles of your roots multiply and grow into the word of God, where you can absorb it. And your circumcision of mind recalls the word of God, whereby you can expound, teach, lead, guide, direct, but mostly have the blessings of God in your life. It is ever so very important. Verse 12, listen carefully again. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who has raised him from the dead. This is a fantastic verse. What it is saying here is that you died with him spiritually. And this word operation is energy. That's what the Greek word even is. You draw that energy from him, that it brings efficiency, whereby it is enough for you when you partake of that operation of God. We'll get into that operation in the next lecture. Don't you dare miss it. It lets you know what is nailed to the cross. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
This exhaustive concordance of the Bible is an invaluable tool to the serious Bible student. The Strong's Concordance lists every word used in the Bible and every passage where the word utilized may be found in the Scriptures. With the assistance of a reference numbering system, the English reader may easily translate any word back to the original Hebrew, Chaldean, or Greek in which God's Word was written. The Companion Bible is a unique study Bible. In addition to the text of the King James Version Bible, an extra wide margin contains a wealth of information not found in other Bibles. A system of structures or outlines employed by the Companion Bible will allow the readers to rightly divide the Bible. The use of these structures help the reader follow the subject matter, and therefore they are critical to an understanding of God's Word. The 198 appendixes found in the Bible cover a wide variety of topics and information which will enlighten your studies. The Companion Bible and Strongest Concordance are a must for the serious Bible student.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. And that number would be 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit should move, you have a question, you share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend or denomination or organization. We do not judge people. That is against God's rules of law, is that you're not to judge. Why? He's the judge. He doesn't like you getting on his toes. That's why he'll always penalize you when you try to judge someone. He'll take good care of you. Okay? Leave the judging. You are to discern that who you should fellowship with, who you should study with, and that's a gift from God. When you can recognize truth, instead of be away from the traditions of men that make void the truth, That is to say, the Word of God. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you, and your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Always a pleasure. Got a prayer request? Don't need that number. You don't need an address. Why? Because God knows what you're thinking right now. You don't, do you realize He created you different than anyone else? Your DNA is different. You're just different. You're unique. Why? Because God wanted you that way. He wanted someone just like you, but He insists that you love Him because He did this for you. When you return that love, He returns it with blessings. Don't ever forget that. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, and question time. We're going to go with Leo from California. Thank you for your comments and blessings there in San Diego. My question is, who are we to pray to? I only pray to the Father and Jesus. I became a Christian 20 years ago. Well, fantastic. Always go by the Word of God. When Jesus was asked, how do we pray? He said, you will pray thusly, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, you pray to our Father, but always ask it in Christ's name. Okay? You do not pray to anyone other than the Father, because He is all in all. Don't ever forget that. Man's traditions would like to pull you away from that. But if you want answers and if you want blessings, you better naturally. Isn't it quite simple? You go to He from whom all blessings flow. You go to He to from whom all wisdom and knowledge flows. And you talk to Him. That's who you pray for. But always ask in Christ's name. That is credentials to God that you believe, that you are stable. Laverne from I'm going to say Maine, okay? What does the word Eucharist mean? It means Holy Communion. It means the bread and the wine of communion. The Father's, the Christ's blood and His body, the ingredients that make up communion. Deborah from Louisiana. Pastor Murray, my question is, once you are saved, are you always saved? The salvation is always there, but you can drift away from it. Christ does the saving. He never fails. It's there for you. But you must repent when you fall short, or you can drift so far away from that hand of salvation that you can go to hell. Okay. You have to repent for sins. It is a sin for you to say, I have to be saved again. Because you're not saying you failed then. If you say you have to be saved again, you're saying Christ failed. I would not advise that. That's blasphemy. And as an insult to He who died on the cross for you. But you be baptized and when one time in His name. And after that comes repentance. Well, how many times can I repent? Christ said 7 times 70. That's 490 times in one day. Could you do that? I don't know anybody that sins that bad. But with repentance, you've got to mean it. You can't con God. You've got to know you did. You're sorry for it. You repent. It's over. Antoine from Michigan. Pastor Murray, if there are no churches around me that produce sound doctrine, then how can I go about taking communion? You can take it with us. Or you can take communion anytime you need communion. You get the ingredients, the wine and the blood. Or you can substitute if you have an illness for grape juice. But always unleavened bread. You can buy unleavened crackers. They will work. Or if you have a Bible bookstore, you can buy communion bread. Or you can make your own, unleavened. Just leave the leaven out. And you can take communion yourself if you're ill and you wish to. But then we take it three times a year. That's how many times they met, Passover, Pentecost, and Feast of Tabernacles. Christ said, as oft as you meet, they met three times a year. But you can take it with us, or you can take it yourself. No problem. It does not pay rewards to go to a church that doesn't teach truth. You're wasting your time and theirs. Dominique from Arizona. I have been told that the King James Version of the Bible is meant to keep the African Americans down. Is this true, or am I being misled? You are definitely being misled. How anyone could say that the Word of God was to put any people down? Do you know something? It doesn't even put the sons of Cain down. Because if they believe, whomsoever will, they are no longer children of the devil, but children of Almighty God. And as it is for any peoples that love the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't put people down, it picks people up, praise God. Harold from Tennessee. Pastor Murray, where in the Bible does it speak about abandonment? Thank you. There is one verse in God's Word about abandonment, and it is powerful. You'll find it in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. I'll repeat it again. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, having to do with abandonment. It's strong and it's powerful. William from Nevada. What does the word Yah stand for? The word Yah is the sacred name of the living God. And it comes from the etymology of and from the time that Moses went up to Mount Sinai. And he asked the Father, who shall I say sent me? And our Father said, Iyah Ashaiyah, I am that I am. And that makes up the etymology of the word Yahweh. And therefore, Yah being a shorter rendition, it is the sacred name of the living God, okay? O.J. from Illinois. Has the book of Revelations already been fulfilled, or is it still to be fulfilled? I look forward to your answer. Thank you. We are in the fifth trump. We're of the fifth seal. It's a time of teaching. And if you are really interested, pick up the Passover, the messages on Passover of this Passover 2011. And it goes into that fifth trump and the signs of where we are right now. It might help you. Glenda from Florida, what is God's original name? Isn't it strange how these questions seem to follow in suit and they're not picked that way? It just happens when you take a handful. His original name is Yahweh. Because that's the language that was spoken before the Tower of Babel brought confusion of language to the world. And it is his sacred name. It is a name that most scholars pray in when they want to really speak to the Father. And so it is. I had expressed earlier, that was from God's own mouth, Iyah Ashaiyah, I am that I am. Barbara from Arkansas, I have some family members that say Paul's teachings are deceiving and they lean toward Paul as being a false prophet. What do you think about that, Pastor Murray? Thank you. You know, I don't do this often, but I think you need some help there. I'm going to tell you what you need to do with those people. You need to go to 2 Peter chapter 3. If they don't want to receive Paul, what are they going to do about this? 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. And it reads, "And an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul," this is Peter speaking, "our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you." Verse 16. "As also in all his epistles," not part of them, all of them, speaking in them of those things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. So, I don't know what your family is or what they're doing, or family members are doing in that, but you'd better read those scriptures to them, because they are unlearned, ignorant of God's words, and they are headed for destruction. In other words, if they're going to throw out Paul, they better throw out Peter also. And if you're going to throw him out, you might as well throw God out, because you're going to be destroyed. God chose Paul, and Paul came through quite adequately. Robin, from ignorance is bliss, I suppose. You have all kinds of false teachers in this world. You want to be very careful. Follow God's word. God's word will prove itself out if you have the patience and the endurance to rightly divide the word of God, showing yourself approved as a child of God. Robin from Pennsylvania, what are your thoughts about the verses Deuteronomy 22, verse 5? Are we to follow that today? Well, what does it say? It is an idiom, a Hebraism, which means that a woman should not wear men's clothing and a man should not put on women's clothing. It is a Hebraism that means a woman should not take a man's part in a sexual activity, nor should a man take a woman's part in a sexual activity. It has nothing to do with garments. If you want to go with clothing, men at the time of Deuteronomy 22:5 wore skirts. Okay? So, how would you handle that? Well, it would be ignorance to not realize that. First chapter of Romans will help you further on that if you need it. Linda from Pennsylvania, could you please explain about the two times in Genesis when God created light? Also in Genesis 5, God created animals, and on the eighth day, God created Adam. Did he have children before? He created the other races on the sixth day. He created Adam and Eve on the eighth day. And then he created more animals for Adam to farm with, because he was a husbandman, which means a farmer. Two times in Genesis to create light. The first time was when the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which is to say the Kadesh Ruach, the Holy Spirit, moved and brought forth light spiritually. And then on down to the fourth day when he created the lights in heaven. Those were physical lights for signs and seasons. But the first light was spiritual, which Christ is that light, okay? Christ was that spirit that moved upon the waters. Patsy from Texas, I was listening to your tape Easter. You said Passover is on Easter. How did you come about that Passover is Easter? Please explain. Well, how would you come to the fact that Easter was Passover? Because the word Easter is really not in the manuscripts. The word Easter is only brought forth one time in the King James Bible. And you will find it in the book of Acts. But do you know what the manuscripts say? The word that was translated to Easter, Ishtar, to be more correct, is Pathal, which is Passover. So man added Ishtar. Ishtar is a pagan goddess, which about the same time as Passover would come to pass, they would meet in the woods and roll eggs of fertility, and quick like a bunny, it was a sexual fertility orgy. And some preachers decided, we can just move that into the church, and we got something really going for us. Then maybe you should read 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, Christ became our Passover. Not Christ became our Ishtar, pagan goddess. He became our Passover. End of story. Okay, we got trying to find, from Missouri. We have Lena and Gina, a mother and a daughter. What is the preference between major and minor prophets? There's not any preference. There's certainly nothing minor about the 12 minor prophets. They are like reading tomorrow's newspaper. They are shorter in length compared to the major prophets, but they are chock full of beautiful, wonderful truth. And it is necessary to understand all, both major and minor prophets. And the minor prophets are just as important as the major prophets. Johnny from Missouri, I was wondering about blood transfusion and if it is wrong to use another person's blood to save a life. Absolutely not. Okay. Many people, because God's word says if you kill an animal to eat, this was back before we had refrigeration or anything else, and it's still good practice even to this day. It's part of the health food laws. You bleed the animal. In other words, you hit the jugular in such a way that the animal bleeds out, because blood putrefies flesh. It's not good to eat if you leave the blood in it. It won't keep. Okay. So, and this is why you wring a chicken's neck and let it hop and it bleeds itself out. And then the meat is good. Okay. So some people that are uninformed on how to study God's word, then when it says don't eat the blood because they don't understand the health laws, they say you should never have a blood transfusion. You know, I'm an old combat Marine. I know a lot of good men that wouldn't be with us today if it wasn't for transfusions. It saves lives, and it's a wonderful thing. It's no different than someone giving an eye to when they pass on to a person that can't see, to give them sight. It's a beautiful gift, and so is a transfusion. Ignorance is bliss if you allow it. Don't allow it. You always go by the health food laws, and it has nothing to do with blood transfusions. Gail from Pennsylvania, is adultery the unpardonable sin? Will you not go to heaven? Adultery is not the unpardonable sin. It is a forgivable sin. Nowhere is it written that divorce or adultery are unpardonable. It is true that you must repent if it was your fault or it's on your name. But Christ has the power that once you repent, it's erased. Doesn't exist. Gone. So don't let somebody wrestle you with it. And you'll find out in the next lecture you're not supposed to let someone judge you in that. Richard from Pennsylvania. Pastor Murray, what is the pin that you are wearing on your lapel? Well, it is the American flag crossed with the Marine Corps pin. It's the old saying, once you're a Marine, you're always a Marine. That's just part of the Corps, the spirit of the Corps. And so it is. Thank you for asking. Many times you will see a Navy person will have the American flag and it'll have a Navy flag across from it. That's because Spirit of Corps also. And so it is. Yvonne from Maryland. Pastor Murray, why do you not use the Most High's personal name, Jehovah? Because it's not his name. There are no J's in the original language. There is only J's in English compared to it. The name, as we mentioned earlier, is Yahweh. That is the sacred name. That is the Most High and Holy name. If you have a Strong's Concordance, you need to check it out for yourself. Studying, you know, God's name is always connected with a title. If you really want to pray, let's say that you need financial help, who would you pray to? Yahweh Jireh. Okay. And that would be who you would pray to. I don't want to start a new cult or anything of that nature. That just means the Lord who supplies. That's all it means in that tongue. And he does supply. When you're rooted when you're grounded in Him, and when you talk to Him, and if you wish to use that sacred name, good. He loves it. I think everybody likes to be called by their own name. So does our Father. William from Texas. Pastor Murray, if there is only one unforgivable sin, then I can hardly believe that everything, murder, rape, child abuse, that we do on this earth hardly means anything as long as you repent. Well, you won't find murder and rape and murder as being forgivable on earth. It isn't. But it doesn't mean it's not unforgivable, period, because God said, I want them executed and I want them sent up to me. I'll hold the trial up here. Why? Because the person they murdered is up there already. So He says, I'll take care of it right up here. And so that's how that works. Okay, I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying our Father's Word. Most of all, God loves you for it. Makes His day. When you read His Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, and when you make His day, boy, is He going to make yours. We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we have helped you, then you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, you bless God. He will always bless you. Most important, though, you listen to me and you listen good. You stay in His Word. Every day in His Word is a good day, even with trouble. Do you know why? Because Jesus Yeshua is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the show.